mentioned, but he's going to be leaving to go to India himself on Thursday, I believe. Be there for about 3 weeks. And for his dad, Anil Chopade, Brother Anil has spent some time with his dear brother. Looks like he's going to have knee replacement surgery on the 14th. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so pray for the Lord will undertake for Brother Anil and for Danny and bring him back safely to his family. Speaking of India, I'm very impressed how many folks here at the chapel can speak several languages. Some speak their native dialect from India and also can speak Spanish. Some speak English and also can speak Spanish. As I struggle with just English, I really appreciate these brothers and sisters that can do this. The English language can be very confusing at times, can't it? The same word having different meanings. For example, concerning home repair and remodeling, a house with a foundation beyond repair sometimes is raised, it's lifted up, so a new foundation can be constructed, and then it's lowered back down. A house that's foundation, roof, walls, and other parts that are beyond repair is sometimes raised. This is spelled R-A-Z-E-D. Which means it's destroyed. All that remains is an empty building lot. In the Bible, we also have words with different meanings. Of course, one of the best examples we find is in John 21. You know the story well. After the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, he meets with Peter by the Sea of Tiberias. Just a side note on that. Sea of Galilee. John is the only gospel writer to call this the sea, instead of Galilee, Tiberias. And I read that following the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Sea of Galilee was renamed Tiberias after Tiberius Caesar. Most believe that John was written around 80, 85, or 15 years after the destruction of Jerusalem. But back to the Lord as he spoke to Peter. He asked him, "Do you love me?" I remember Brother Eddie Schwartz many years ago first shared this that I know of here at the chapel. The Lord uses the Greek word for love, agape, which is the highest form and speaks of self-sacrifice. Peter responds, "You know I love you, Lord." The word love he uses is the Greek word which means, it's phileo, which means friendship or I'm fond of you. Well, this occurs again. And the third time, the Lord uses the Greek word phileo, or fondness. The Lord gives Peter the opportunity to redeem himself after he denied him three times. Then the Lord meets Peter where he is at that time in his Christian walk. Well, that's the word love and its different meanings. Today's message is on another word, application, or apply. Application also has several different meanings. One is a formal request for a job, for a loan, entrance to a college or university. Some of our folks can remember that well. Another use of the word application is to exert effort to accomplish something. Students are encouraged to apply themselves to get better grades. How many students have heard that from teachers and parents alike? Workers are also encouraged to apply themselves to be more productive. The third use is an act of attaching or joining to put on or to cover. Put on or to cover. Biblical application will be our focus today. It will be on the third use of this word, application or apply. And we'll focus on to cover and to join together. I was going to start in Exodus and the Passover, but let's begin at the beginning, which is in Genesis, which means beginning. Turn to Genesis 3, if you would. Genesis 3. familiar portion to most of us. It's a review of man's fall and God's remedy. Let me just read a few verses for context. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Follow along as I read. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Well, that's interesting. And this has been pointed out before, that Eve said, "You shall not eat it nor touch it." But if we go back to Genesis 2:17, this is what the Lord God told Adam about this tree. "But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you surely shall die." Now it's evident that Eve had been given the word by Adam, what God had told them about this tree in the midst of the garden. But here she added, "You shall not touch it." Was that Adam who added this to God's word, or Eve? It's not good to add to God's word. Well, then we have the account about she took the fruit, she ate it, she gave some to Adam, and then they realized they were naked. So they heard God coming. And we read this in verse 9. "Then the Lord called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself.' And then God asked, 'Who told you that you were naked?'" So here we see the first sin, disobedience to God's word. But God had a remedy at that time. Go down to Genesis 3, verse 21. This is where we see our first example of the word application as a covering. Genesis 3:21, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin or coats and clothed them or covered them." This implies that an animal was sacrificed, that blood was shed to clothe them. God's way of covering man's sin was only temporary here, but God would provide a permanent solution for man's sin later, as his own son would be sacrificed for sin. Now go to Exodus 12, as we think of this second example of application, where we think about putting on something. Exodus 12. And I'll just read a few verses. Exodus 12, where the Passover is instituted. 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." And then verse 7, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it or apply it on the two doorposts and on the lintel or the top part of the houses." And then skip on down to verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The blood of the sacrifice was applied or put on the doorframe, protecting those inside from the final plague, the death of the firstborn. Here, the death of the firstborn reminded me of man's state. Every man, every person is born physically with a sin nature. We have our great, many-time grandfather, Adam, to thank for this, don't we? Back Romans 5:12 says it this way, therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. You may have heard this, but it's been said you're either born once and die twice, or you're born twice and die once. Here's the meaning. We are all born physically one time. But without salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we will die physically. And then at the great throne, when our sin is judged, we are cast into the lake of fire. This is called the second death. We read about that in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. So a question for those here today and those who might hear this message in the future. Have you been born the second time? Born again from above, as the Lord shared with Nicodemus. We read of that in John chapter 3. If not, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross on your behalf. That's the good news of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Because he lives, we also can live and escape that second death. You need to agree with God and his word that you're a sinner. Turn to him and place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His finished work alone is the only way to be saved. Experience a second birth, which is eternal. What does Genesis 3 and Exodus 12 have in common? Both are a picture and reminder of our Lord's sacrifice for sin, how that a blood sacrifice is needed to pay sin's penalty, which is death. Scripture tells us this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. In Exodus 3, we consider the Passover. The angel of death would pass over or pass by the Israelites' homes where the blood was applied to the top of the door and the sides. Christ's sacrifice and his blood applied to the door of our hearts is how a sinner can escape the penalty of sin, which is death. Christ is our Passover. We read this in 1 Corinthians 5:7. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Jesus is the door by which sinful man can be forgiven, passed over by sin's penalty. Jesus said in John, I am the door, John 10:7. This is just one of the many I am statements Christ made as recorded in John. He also said, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, John 10:11. I am the resurrection and the life, 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have it framed right over here, John 14:6. Sin brings death, but Christ brings life, life eternal. As we focus on him saying, I am the door, turn to John 7. John 10, starting in verse 7. John 10, 7 through 10. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who enter in, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. The truth is hard for many to accept, that Jesus Christ and his sacrifice is the one and only way to be forgiven for sin and have a right relationship with God. To many, this is a narrow-minded way to think. And they are correct. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, go down to verse 13. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. When we apply the blood of Christ to the door of our hearts by faith, it's an act of attaching or joining to him and his body, the church. This speaking of the universal church, Grace Chapel is the local representation of attaching or joining to him and his body, the church. We need to remember that every born again believer is part of the body of Christ. It's a shame that we have so many denominations and views of Christianity, isn't it? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12 for a minute. 1 Corinthians 12, go down to verse 12. Talks about unity, being one body. First Corinthians 12:12-14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. And there's a song that we hear from time to time. It goes like this. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a beautiful thing when we act in unison, directed by the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself spoke of our oneness in his high priestly prayer recorded in John 17. Turn there if you would for a minute, John 17. This is a wonderful prayer to study of our Lord and Savior. And of course, it's been said it's in three parts. Jesus first prays for himself that he would glorify and finish the work that his Father sent him to do. Then he prays for his disciples that were with him at that time. And then lastly, at verse 20, he speaks for all believers, which include us. 17 verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Our oneness truly can be a powerful witness to the lost, can it? May we apply this thought of oneness to our lives. As believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to also apply his words, his word, the Bible, God's truth to our lives. To be able to apply God's word to our lives, we need to know it. We need to read it and study it. We find the word Selah 74 times in the Bible, 71 times in the book of Psalms, and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. And Selah, you probably know, means to consider or to think on these things. It's good to consider God's word. And it's been said of Bible study comes in 3 different parts: observation, interpretation, and probably the most difficult, application. Observation, we need to read it, to listen to it. Not just get into God's word, but as it's been said, let God's word get into us. Then we have interpretation, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to guide us in our understanding. We read of that in John 16:13. And lastly, application, to put into practice what we are learning. As we read in James 1:22, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. As we seek to follow our Savior and apply his word to our lives, a few scriptures to remember. 2 Timothy 2:15, study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker or workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And one last portion to look at. Turn to Romans 12. God's word is full of wonderful instruction as we live out our Christian walk. Familiar portion, Romans 12, the first 2 verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being transformed is a process in a Christian's life. This new life, has been said, comes in 3 stages: salvation, sanctification, or being set apart for God's use, and finally, glorification. It's also been said this way: saved, sanctified, and glorified. A time when we're called up to be with our Lord and Savior. There's other verses that apply to the sanctification stage, if you will, of the new life we have in Christ. Very familiar verses, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 says this: be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on or apply the new man, which was created according to God. Philippians 4:13, Apostle Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul also wrote, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's all about him. May we all seek to apply these scriptures and others that we find to help encourage us in our Christian walk. In Genesis 3, man's sin was covered by the coats of skin that were applying that blood was shed. In Exodus 12, death passed by all who had applied the blood to the top of their door and the side post. In the New Testament, We see the Lord Jesus Christ as our Passover, the one who shed his blood to redeem us, to save us from sin's penalty. He is our substitute, isn't he? Christ's substitute has been called vicarious. That's a good word, vicarious. I probably got that from Brother Eddie Schwartz as well. Vicarious simply means a substitutionary sacrifice for sin, a substitute. For the individual, for the church, and for the world. For the individual, Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For the church, we read in Ephesians 5:25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. For the world, Hebrews 2:9 says that he, speaking of Christ, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's amazing how many times we see God's love in the scriptures followed by God's sacrifice. We just read that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us. What a blessing to know that he loved us enough to pay the price, the only price that could save us from our sin. And it's when we apply his finished work to our hearts, we can be saved. Another scripture in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates or commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a blessing to know that God and the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to pay that ultimate price. I pray that all who hear this message have applied the blood of Christ and his finished work to the door of their hearts and will live eternally with God in heaven. That's his desire, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I also pray that those of us who have been saved will apply God's word in a new way this year to our lives to become more like our Savior each day. Psalm 32:1 says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Turn in your red book to number 232. Let's sing this together as we give glory to his name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.